Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Does Broad Branch still sell lemon heads, Tony?
Michael, does Broad Branch sell those?
They most certainly do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I should. Yeah, I'm 53 years old. When I lived on 31st Street as a kid, I may or may not have taken a box of lemon heads one time from Broad Branch. I feel like I should. I feel like I
pay them back.
Send you a box of lemon heads and have you just kind of put it right back in the slot.
That's
it would
funny.
Make me feel a lot better.
Anytime we can help you getting to even keel morally, we're happy.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
To that point, sent in by Joe Landine. Listening to Sanzi on the pod Wednesday reminded me that one time when I was 10, I stole a Cadbury egg and a huge novelty pencil from a local department store. Sadly, that chain went out of business years ago, so I can't have you return the items to get my morals back to even keel. Any ideas? And P.S., please don't tell Sally Jenkins. There's nothing I want more than to stay off her radar, as if some schlub like me could ever fly that high. Lemonheads. I'm not familiar with lemonheads. Michael, what are lemonheads?
It's a great, starts out sour, then it ends a little bit sweet, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Been many years, but great memories at Broad Branch Market. Got the Sam Neill house account.
Yeah.
Playing Coke Wars out in front of Lafayette.
Yeah. It's Neville. Yes, that Neville. I'm upset that you failed to recognize the historic athletic accomplishments of that local jock factory, Sidwell Friends, which during the weekend of March 6th won both the boys and girls basketball championships conducted by the D.C. State Athletic Association. The girls team is also the number one team in the country, led by Naismith Player of the Year, Kiki Rice, and coached by Naismith Coach of the Year, Tamika Dudley, while the boys beat Wilson on a thrilling buzzer-beating tap-in. I presume you must no longer subscribe to your local newspaper, given the prominence of the stories in the Washington Post, or else maybe Michael's connections to Murray have undermined your objectivity. Neville Waters, Sidwell Friends class of 75. All right, Neville, we're good now, right?
Yes.
I didn't know about the boys. I knew about the girls. I knew the girls were ranked very, very high. And I knew that the young lady who's the player of the year is, I believe, the niece of the ambassador to the United Nations.
Oh, wow.
Who lives in your neighborhood.
Sure.
Yeah, right?
I don't know.
Rice.
I don't know her. Yes.
What's her first name? Do we know? I've forgotten.
Who, Susan Rice?
Susan Rice.
Yes.
Yes, that's her niece, I believe. I believe that's true. I believe she is the daughter of Susan Rice's brother, Johnny Rice. But I could be wrong, and I'm sure Neville will let me know. So it's
just imagine when Siddle becomes one campus.
Yeah, that could be really good. I want to thank the Serrano Swain family who sent me a card for no reason at all with their pictures on it. Thank you. It's very, very nice. It's lovely. I get these things every once in a while. So I wanted to talk about the fact that spring is here, and it's here where I live. I don't know where you live, but it's here where I live. The yellow flowers, the forsythias are blooming, the daffodils are blooming, everything is coming up, even in my yard, which does not get good sun. My backyard gets hardly any sun. Things have come up out of the ground. You can tell spring is here. Now, spring is not going to be here in Washington in the 20015 on Saturday and Sunday.
No.
And in many places in the Northeast on Saturday and Sunday, when something called a bombogenesis is going to hit the North Atlantic and destroy, you know, all measure of spring, with winds here to 50 miles an hour, further north to 80 to 90 miles an hour. You've read about this.
We've had these winds,
it feels like
every weekend.
Yeah, gale warnings.
Up to 50 miles an hour. Forget about golf. You're having tree damage. You're having power outages.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
And for us,
we're going to get that. But then next week, so then what I'm going to get to is, at least where I live, it feels like this is it.
Yes.
This weekend, then next week is nice, and then you're in the end of March. And then even if you get snow, and it doesn't look like you're going to get snow, it melts, right?
You're not even worried about snow. You're lingering about the lingering cold March weather that doesn't, once you have the
in
the
like
extra
a lion,
hour,
out like a lamb.
Once you have
though.
The extra hour at the end of the day, you want it to start to feel warm. You don't want it to, you know, have to put on the puffer jacket when you go outside. But we might lose the cherry blossoms. You have a lot of
That's
them.
Right.
They're already in the second
Blown
or third
off.
Stages.
Oh. Blown
they're
off.
Not in the, they're not into the fourth or fifth stage. I clearly learned all this on WTOP this morning driving over to your house.
Right. But that's it. They could blow off.
Yeah.
You know, they're not anchored. They could blow off, and then all the people who come to look at them, you know, then all they'll be left to do in their anger is join the truck convoy with Ted Cruz. I wanted to mention one other thing. There are two things I could tell a long story about another. See, I don't want to do this. It's another example of me having no idea what things cost. None at all. I may save that for next week.
Okay.
Because it's an evergreen story. It has to do with a side view mirror and how much it costs and how I underestimated it wildly. Wildly.
Car registration for 1 year. What do you think it costs in D.C.?
$30. $30 to $45.
Okay, let's say your car
I know
now
that because I pay that.
Though that's not accurate whatsoever.
$100.
You're still lowballing it, Dad.
Oh.
So do you do the 1 year or the 2 year?
$3,000. One, I do 1 year because I never know if I'm going to keep the car.
Wow.
I never know.
Live day to day. This is not like you. You never let the car go below a quarter of a tank.
So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to talk about this particular thing. I am going to mention briefly that I've now noticed that other trees in my neighborhood are decorated, festooned with the colors of the Ukrainian flag, the blue and bright yellow of the Ukrainian flag. And I feel good about it. That's a protest that I understand. I feel good about that. And I will say this one other thing that I've said to both Nigel and to Michael. I don't understand this. Russia is not a third world country. It's first world country. It's even with us. Everything we got, they got. You know, really, everything. The average Russian is probably like the average American at this point. And I don't know how it's possible that they don't have phones and they don't have internet and they don't know what's going on. Because they're being told by their leadership that people have gone into Ukraine to liberate Ukraine from the Nazis. It's denazification. They're the Nazis. They're killing people, innocent people, blowing up homes, blowing up schools, blowing up, you know, hospitals. Come on. And they don't know this? They're able to control that? Russia and China are able to control the flow of information that is so liberalized here and in other places in the world. How are they able to do that? I don't understand that. I don't get it.
I'm only a little bit surprised by considering the influence of disinformation that we've seen in the last 5 years, even in our own country, where you choose to read and to watch certain channels.
Yeah.
But if you go online to any forum, widely respected forums that have sort of had a lot of scrutiny over them the last couple of years, you're seeing some of those similar storylines play out. So, and we're not being threatened with prison time.
Right. I think there have been some protests. I mean, I guess the news got out initially. I know there were some protests in like St. Petersburg, but they cracked down on them fairly harshly, does Mr. Putin.
Stuck around St. Petersburg when I thought so it was time for a change.
Yeah.
I want to, this is one reason why you've seen people like Musk try and make sure that they can get sort of the internet access to the areas of Ukraine to make sure that the free reporting is being delivered.
And I think Elon Musk actually,
is he a hero or a villain?
Elon Musk?
Yeah, he seems to be very controversial.
I think at times he can be a hero, and other times maybe a bit villainous. I think overall, he does pretty good things, but he's supplied his own satellites to provide the people of Ukraine with internet access when it was initially cut off. So
how can he supply the people of Russia with it or the people of China with it? Musk man, as we like to call him.
I think the heads of state.
Remember when people bought Musk oil all the time as colognes? Remember when colognes were popular for 300 years? And now if you smell
somebody.
When's
the last time you wore cologne?
If you smell somebody like that, you go, whoa, this guy's a freak. What is he doing? What is he doing? The cologne business went down. It's out. It's done.
Yeah.
There is no cologne business.
But you might use the cologne to make sure you still have your sense of smell.
So in case you get COVID.
Yeah.
I wanted to read a couple of things, not to tell you how to use your own French press, which I still haven't used. But if you don't want to make 10 cups of coffee at once, just don't fill the French press all the way to the top with hot water.
Okay.
I know you weren't a math major, but let me assure you, if the recipe calls for 10 scoops of coffee for a full carafe, 5 scoops and a half full carafe will work just as well. I love this coffee that they sent me. What's it called? Trade?
Yes. Trade coffee, yes.
I love it, but I do something wrong and it ends up the grounds end up in my coffee, as Carly Simon would say.
The worst part is you drink it anyway. You get a spoon.
I just don't know what I'm doing.
And then I asked Mom, I was like, do you have like a kettle? We have an electric kettle. And she goes, I have a saucepan. I'll just boil the water.
That's what she does. We're like from the 1800s. Well, it's Little House on the Prairie here.
Right.
From Christopher Pastore, the Associate General Counsel of the University of Arizona. So we're including fictional people now? During the March 4th show, you indicated that the hometown emails needed to stop and then proceeded to read emails about famous people from hometowns, some of which included fictional characters, and I knew this was my chance. I write to submit JoJo, who had a home in Tucson, Arizona. He's famous mostly or only because he left Tucson for California. In that regard, he's just like everybody else from Tucson. But JoJo is the only person Sir Paul implored to get back to Tucson. Of course, Paul and Linda, a University of Arizona graduate, ended up buying a winter home in Tucson. So we got that going for us, which is nice. From Will Katz in Los Angeles. Listening to old podcasts to catch up to the present day. I'm too young to know the Cheers theme song, but it sounds like your outrage over the new Applebee's ad campaign can only be described as righteous. I hate Applebee's. If I ever taste their lukewarm, low-quality, diarrhea-inducing slop again, it will be too soon. Whoa, Will. Maybe
specific.
I'm being a bit harsh. After all, Applebee's is somewhat of an innovator in the American chain restaurant space. Where else can one find food that is both oversalted and under-seasoned, that is both affordable and overpriced? Applebee's, that's where. Anyway, I hope they change their ad campaign to one featuring a more innocuous song in the near future. I'm sure the folks at Applebee's will be eager for their commercials to stop being associated with poor taste. Hope it works out for them. That's a great email. Isn't it?
It really is.
From the Reverend Mark Schaefer. The internet is bad, you say. Have I missed the radio stations your show is broadcast on? Is there a print edition of the Tony Kornheiser Show I can subscribe to by mail? Is there a channel other than News Channel 8 simulcasting the broadcast? No? Then I don't know how to break this to you, my friend, but you are on the internet. Unless you think that the pod and podcast refers to the Peapod grocery delivery service handing out cassette taped recordings of the show, I'm pretty sure this is something, excuse me, you should already know, even more than the price of a gallon of milk. We're on the internet?
Yeah, well, that's where people download the show from, sure.
Mark Collinson from St. Clair Shores in Michigan. The internet is ruining the world, he said, while broadcasting solely on the internet. Truly riveting commentary. Thank you for your wisdom. In parentheses, he should have written, you dope. From Tim Wildsmith in Nashville, whose music we play.
Yes, we love Tim.
The person to whom I'm related by marriage was featured in the online lifestyle section of the Washington Post this weekend. This story, linked below, by Janae Kingsbury, was about six different women and how their lives changed completely during the pandemic. And yes, I did attend the Jingle Fest in Nashville, and it was so much fun. Great to meet some fellow littles and enjoy the music of the show. Shout out to Tony. I have a piano. Beeson, who's the nicest guy in the world. Everyone says that about Tony.
Yeah, lovely fellow.
From Eric Samuel in Orinda, California. Not only do broadcasters for the Rangers, Mariners, and Dodgers listen, so does Giants and ESPN national broadcaster David Fleming. Dave Fleming, he's really good.
Yeah.
Didn't we work with his brother, Will, in Chicago? Didn't we do that?
Oh, I think we did, yeah.
Yeah.
He even rides his bike home from broadcasting games on occasion, but I don't know if he wears white. We're making inroads.
Yes.
Into baseball. Zach Cummings from Maple Ridge, British Columbia in Canada. Mr. Tony, I'm sad to send you this email as a confession of sorts and to ask for your forgiveness. I, as a PTI watcher of 15 years and a podcast listener of four, have bought a Subaru. Can I still watch and listen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. More importantly, am I crazy for thinking the entire time I was buying this vehicle how you, a person I have no personal relationship with, would be disappointed in me? It's okay. It's perfectly okay, Zach. You're in Canada. You need a Subaru.
Yes. Are you skipping the rest of the show?
What do you mean?
We just jump straight to the mailbag?
I wanted to open. I got a lot of emails laying around. I thought they were good. I went through two nights ago. I had nothing to do. I went through a 300 email. John Holt in Chester, Virginia. I look forward to Dan Byrne's next song, Tony's $1,000 Glasses. And that's I was going to say that after the thing with the mirror, but I didn't. Brian Moeller, who's a high school assistant principal. On Friday's show, you talked about the spider web of the show and how we're not alone no matter where we are. You went on to mention how you hear from littles in Europe, Canada, and all across the globe who know each other, to which I'm also always amazed at the connective tissue of the show. However, I felt compelled to tell you that has not quite been my experience here around Table Rock Lake in the beautiful Ozarks of Southwest Missouri. Granted, I spend most of my time around high school students, to which, as assistant principal, I get my share of TK salutes. But my uses of La Cheeserie or Use the Code People or What Are We Even Doing Here, Man, or Micro Wave, are yet to hear the ears of a fellow littler and usually answered with a puzzled expression on their face. Alas, I am not without hope. I see myself as the official Tony Kornheiser missionary stationed in the vast frontier of Mid-America, an area that makes Wilbon's I-95 vitriol seem trivial, as most people here see anything east of the Mississippi as untrusted foreign countries. From time to time, I hear you read emails from others from the Show Me State, so I know our numbers are growing. Thus, I will continue to educate the masses on the important items as D.C. weather, the best route to get to Pinehurst, and the acceptable number of outlets to have in the kitchen, knowing that the day is soon coming when someone tells me to eat it. It may be from a fellow little happy to make my acquaintance, not some 16-year-old punk I just assigned suspension. P.S. While living in Southwest Missouri does have me removed from the perks of the bustling East Coast, I was able to buy a 3-pack of reading glasses for $7.99. What did I spend? Like nearly $1,000? And I couldn't, because I'm who I am, I can't say no, I don't want it.
Yeah, it's tough to...
Hey, get me those from the top shelf.
You know. No, he just took 4 or 5 down from random places. From Peter and Susan Van Acker. This show stinks, but can I play the phone number game? 311-555-2368. This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you. That's from Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. I looked through 1,000 things the other day. And I mean, I could have begun with baseball. We're going to have Ron Darling on the show.
Yes.
Baseball and football are in the news. Did you watch Ben Simmons? I didn't watch it.
No.
Did he get booed lustily?
I think he did, yes. But they won. The Nets ended up winning that. And so, but
they beat the Sixers?
Yes. Yeah, it's sort of that.
I'm sure it's important to Wilbon. It was not important to me.
Did you try and watch any of the players, or the weather delays just were too much for you?
I ended up, all of a sudden, I tune into the players at some point yesterday, and Brian Harman is on 18 minus 12. And I went, minus 12? The guy's shooting 60? And then that was the fourth round 2 years ago.
Yep, makes sense.
I didn't. So, and it didn't say, you know, we're in a rain delay. I didn't know.
So I don't know if you watched it. You didn't see any of the highlights. The best part, and this is because of the rain delay, I was saying to Nigel before the show. So Ian Poulter, and I've been very anti-Ian Poulter for many years.
Well, because he's going to go to the Saudi golf
tour. I'm beginning to love him now. So he is facing darkness, and he doesn't want to come back and put it in the ground at 5:30 today. So he runs on 17. He gets it to the top shelf. He's got 4.5 feet. The last 100 yards, he's going around that land bridge, the shoulder,
Yeah. Huffing
and puffing, marks his ball, bangs the birdie putt in, runs up to 18 before his playing partners can putt out so he can be the one ball in the air that gives his group the chance to play. Hits a swipey fade up into the rough and ends up saving par.
So the weather there, Sands told us was going to be bad, and it was going to be bad all weekend or something like that. But it's not going to be as nearly as bad as it's going to be in New England and in Canada.
No.
With this bombogenesis.
Yeah.
What? That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
What are you hitting on 17 with 30-mile-an-hour gusts?
How do you even get on the you know, anywhere near being out of the water in that?
Wind is the enemy of golfers.
Yeah.
Right? Wind.
Scariest shot in golf is that drop zone, right?
Yeah. It is said that the greatest round ever played was Tom Watson in a tournament, I think, in Ohio, where nobody else was at par. And maybe, like, the average score was 77, and Watson was something like -4.
Wow.
In 40-mile-an-hour sustained winds. People marveled at it. It's a long time ago.
But you obviously said, when I've asked you about wind before, you said wind could be fun, right?
It's great fun. Well, I shoot 100. What's the difference? What's the difference if I play in wind or no wind? Now, Michael, you can always
pick the ball up. I can pick the ball up mid most of my rounds.
Right.
It's fun.
Right.
Try different shots, play it on the ground.
Right. And pros in a tournament can't.
But
do
to
that.
An island green, when you're ripping wedge off the greens, yeah.
All right, let's get out of this segment. Jason LaConfora, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Mike Stocksdale. A friend of mine, men's basketball team in a league, asked about my music, so I sent it his way. Today he texted and said I had to submit it to your show. I confess I've never listened to the podcast, but he's turned me on to it, and I love how it feels like an old-school radio DJ is running the place. I never know what to submit for things like this, but here are a few of my favorite tunes. This is called Wishes and Wants. This guy's really good.
It's amazing. Yeah.
He's really good.
We'll play the
Mike Stocksdale.
Yeah, we'll play the others next week. But
wow. He's a singer and a songwriter. It's good. Plays in Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports, and his own radio show. And I was going to start with the quarterback stuff, and I'll get to the quarterback stuff. But yesterday something happened that got Wilbon crazy. Khalil Mack has been traded away from the Bears to the Chargers. And Wilbon says, we gave two number ones for this guy. And I said, Wilbon, you got four great years out of this guy. And he says, this organization stinks. Why are you getting rid of this guy? We gave up two number ones. And I wanted to say, you gave up two number ones for Trubisky and didn't get anything. You got something from Khalil Mack. What do you make of this, Jason?
Well, they're going in an exact different direction than they were going in when they made that trade with John Gruden to get Khalil Mack. They're now the Raiders, least what the Raiders were attempting to do at that point. Now, the difference is the Raiders had a quarterback, not a great one, but certainly good enough, a quarterback other teams would want. And we'll have to find out about Justin Fields. But this, we're at a point in time where the league at the general manager position is getting increasingly younger. It's getting increasingly more analytical. It's getting increasingly less old school. And these guys are much more inclined. They've come up in a manner where they're much more open-minded and far less rigid about what football men do and how football teams are built.
Yeah.
They're not afraid of making, quote-unquote, basketball trades, which is basically dumping a contract for a pick or buying somebody else's bad contract because you've got abundant cap space and they don't have it. And that's not what this is. This is a little bit more of just a sort of standard move that a rebuilding team would make, where they're saying, we don't have as much draft capital as we'd like. We're under new management. We're having a bit of a purge here to reset ourselves and to try to finally make this team a true contender by sort of doing the baseball rebuild, which is it's been successful for the Astros. It's been successful for some teams, which is we're going to be bad for a little bit and then hope to be good for a sustained period of time. They're going to lose a lot of free agents, too, so Wilbon's misery is just beginning. I don't see Allen Robinson back there. I don't see Akeem Hicks back there. I don't see Daniels, their offensive lineman, back there. And I may be forgetting a few, Tone, but, you know, I guess the flip side is when's the last time they were really, truly relevant? You know, when's the last time they were a team that over a three-year period of time, you're like, wow, that's somebody you have to be concerned about? You know, we're probably going back to their Super Bowl appearance and maybe a couple years around there. That's a long time. I don't know that this way will work, but I will say you're far better off doing this in the NFC than the AFC because look at Seattle. They just traded Russell Wilson to the AFC. Look at the Lions. They just were on the receiving end of one of these deals. Trading a far better quarterback to another team and taking on the worst contract of a worse quarterback. which of these teams gets to respectability first, I guess remains to be seen. But I think the Vikings are on the cusp of doing the same thing. I think the Vikings, if we were to talk at this time next week, I don't know that Adam Thielen, Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, I don't know that any of those guys are there. Michael Pierce, or at least some of them won't be. So with an expanded playoff, there's going to be, I think, some even worse teams in that conference who get in. And if you get in, anything can happen. But there's certainly a lot of teams that are resetting themselves.
Let us go. Let's rank these things in impact. In impact on the league right now. Rodgers staying in Green Bay. Wilson going to Denver. Wentz going to Washington. How would you rate them?
Well, I would put Wilson one.
You would?
Russell okay. Wilson's 33. People act like he's 43.
Right.
He's never had a serious injury. I mean, his finger thing was kind of freaky, but like, he's not a guy who's going every year, always getting his shoulder cleaned up. He's getting his elbow repaired. He's getting his knee, repaired. That hasn't been him. He's played through high ankle sprains and stuff like that, but he's a guy who didn't miss a snap until he couldn't bend his middle finger this year. And he tried to play through that, and it wasn't great, but go watch his Week 18 film. I do a podcast with Brian Baldinger every week. Baldy studies this stuff as much as anybody. Baldy gushes about his Week 18 film when you could clearly see he was himself. So he's going to play. He's Tom Brady without that many rings, but in terms of the lifestyle, the dedication, the 365 days a year football mentality, the diet, the nutritionist, the mental conditioning coach, the trainer, the kinesiologist, the dietary guy, they all travel with him. It's the same deal. It's a similar lifestyle. I think we're seeing the era of the super team in the NFL, and superstar quarterbacks calling their shots, and I'm Tom Brady, and I want Antonio Brown, and I want Gronk with me. I'm Aaron Rodgers, and if I stay, you're bringing this guy back and this guy back, and you're getting me Randall Cobb. I think you're going to see a super team form around Russell Wilson. They are not done spending there. He will do an extension. Over the last 5 years, he's top five in wins. He's top five in QB rating. He's number one in air yards per attempt. He's number one in percentage of passes traveling 20 yards or more in the air.
I have no idea.
One guy has more touchdown passes than him the last 5 years. Russell has 165. Tom Brady has 168. And you know, Russell missed some games this year. He's top five in TD to interception ratio. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer for me, surefire. And I think he has many good years left in him. And if you're going to mess around in the AFC, you better have a quarterback. And in that division in the AFC, you definitely better have a quarterback.
Well, they all
that,
do.
That, to me, is the biggest move. Aaron Rodgers, I would put second because of he's a back-to-back MVP, but he's year-to-year. He makes no bones about being year-to-year. This thing could be over at any given moment, and when it's over, when tomorrow hits the Packers, it's going to hit them hard. That's not going to be a team that's down for a year or two. That's going to be a team that's down for a sustained period of time. That's just how they're constructed. And when they go in the other direction, even if they draft much better than they have recently, it's going to be a problem.
Okay.
And Carson Wentz, I mean, that's – when Frank Reich is like, I can't do this anymore with that guy, and Frank Reich was his sensei, and Frank Reich was a big part of his MVP campaign – and his early development in Philadelphia, and when after one season Frank Reich is like, that's on me, my bad, but we got to get better, that's a bad sign. He's going to a place that's been criminally toxic forever, and sort of his attitude and leadership style is not in favor in places where the culture is seen as good, like Indianapolis. Okay. Buyer beware.
What does Indianapolis do for a quarterback? Because they're good. They're a good team.
They do have what some pieces intact. I think that could be Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
I know that multiple teams are engaged on Kirk Cousins. It's a tricky situation because nobody wins the business of football like Kirk Cousins. So, once again, he has a team with a gun to their head, proverbially, because of the contract. 1 year left, pretty big salary. Massive salary cap number. So you're going to have to engage in a lengthy deal with him, at least a three-year deal for cap purposes in all likelihood, to get the number where you want it. And that means, once again, Kirk Cousins will get a very significant guarantee on his contract. And coming, you know, riding the wave of, well, somebody just gave up multiple picks and took on all $28 million of Wentz, you know, and, you know, Russell Wilson's going to get a massive new deal, and Aaron Rodgers getting his $50 a year. It's not going to be cheap with Cousins, but I think Kirk Cousins would be the best quarterback they've had since Andrew Luck. I don't know that they're winning a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, especially in the AFC. I don't even know if they're getting to a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. But they're super desperate, and I do think from a pocket passer standpoint, from an accuracy standpoint, from a someone who's pretty good in a dome standpoint, That stuff makes sense, but we all know that there's not many pelts on that belt. Is he going to be a guy who's putting people on their back in January? And his leadership style is awkward. But they got to do something. And, you know, Garoppolo, teams are talking to as well, but Garoppolo just had the shoulder surgery a few days ago. Garoppolo can't even start throwing until July, and Garoppolo's hopeful and thinks he'll be ready for week one, but that's you can't take that to your owner with any, you know, with absolute certainty. I think Cousins is the next domino to fall in the quarterback market.
Let me go to Seattle briefly. Russell Wilson no longer there. They get a bunch of draft picks. They cut Bobby Wagner. Not everybody realizes how great Bobby Wagner was.
Oh,
six-time
yeah.
first-team All-Pro. Six-time All-Decade yeah. team. The question is this. They're in total rebuild, and they're in a very, very tough division, and they're going to finish last in that division. Pete Carroll's almost my age. Does Pete yep. Carroll stick around to get good, or does he leave?
Well, look, they're going to try to get a quarterback, too, and the guy I'd keep my eye on there is Deshaun Watson, if that becomes feasible from a legal standpoint and from an availability standpoint in terms of any NFL discipline. But they now have the draft capital to get Deshaun Watson potentially, and then still have some other pieces, have, you know, build around him a little bit, still have some picks, still have cap space. But that's a dangerous proposition when you're trading a quarterback of that magnitude. Now, look, I told you a year ago that this was coming. Like Russell Wilson, when a guy like yeah. that is telling you, I'm not doing another contract here. You know, I don't buy what you're selling. I'm kind of sick of having to hold up a roster that's not very good. Then you probably better, you better not go to war with him for more than a year, because then you're going to start really impacting what you get in return for him. So I understand why this happened. I'm not surprised at all that this came to pass, but it you still go from being a team that is like, well, we don't really love everything, but if Russ is healthy, we're competing, and you know what I mean, into January. They don't have that luxury right now. They don't have that card in their back okay. pocket anymore, and this is not a great quarterback draft. And I don't think they did this to use that ninth overall pick they now have on you know, whatever Kenny Pickett becomes or whatever Malik Willis becomes. I just don't. And I don't think Drew Lock is the answer either, and I don't think they think Drew Lock is the answer, but you want to have a quarterback on your roster, so I get it. And he could be a developmental guy. You know, could that be Garoppolo at some point? Or you know, could that even be Cousins? It's not out of the question. It's
this
not
is
out of the question. But to your point
hadn't
about Pete, yeah. I mean, Pete didn't want, like, people are like, well, you know, why didn't Washington just keep throwing first-round picks at him? Pete's not. What does a first-round pick in 2025 mean to Pete Carroll right now in his 70s? He wants a player. Yeah. He'd rather have a player, even if it's not as great of a, even if it's not a first-round player. He needs somebody to help him win right now, who's a known commodity, who he knows fits his scheme, who he knows is an NFL player and what kind of NFL player he is. Yeah, we want some picks too, but like, yeah, 2025. That's Pete might be on the beach by then.
Exactly. Plug your radio show for us.
If you can't get enough of this, if this it's, is a
Jason,
teaser,
you have no idea how good this is.
Not making you jump off this podcast, then you can get much more of it from 2 to 6 weekdays on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Or you can listen on the Odyssey app. You could stream us at www.1057thefan.com. I'm told if you're within the region, we get ratings points for that as well. So that's always a wonderful thing. We talk football all the time, but we certainly are talking a lot of baseball right now, too, because thank God those knuckleheads got their stuff together. And we would have been preempted by the Terps today, but they found a way to lose another heartbreaker. So, alas, you get all 4 hours of us.
Jason, you have no idea how good this is. Thank you. Jason Lockenford.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, brother. Thank you.
Just so good. We'll take a break. Ron Darling, when we return to talk about baseball, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
They're gonna have the designated hitter in both leagues from now on. You can't beat them, join them, that's a message, I guess. The days of doing it yourself are gone. I'm gonna have a standing at my table to chew my food before I swallow. Gonna have someone throw sticks to my dog from a respectful distance I will follow. Got a guy coming in to brush his teeth before I go to bed. Got a kid to shower and wash their hair while I neglect my head. From now on when I master write my signature, I'll have this kid here to do it. Got a stamp, liquor, and someone to smell the flowers. When my nose runs, I got some folks, they'll be the ones who blew it. I've cleaned my ears for the very last time. Won't do my own, don't try to implore me. Got a guy to write my songs, and a guy to do my crosswords, and a guy to go to the bathroom for me. The DH in both leagues will have to live with no place else to go. Got a kid to do my dying, and a kid to listen for me to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The brilliant Dan Byrne. The brilliant Dan Byrne.
It's amazing.
Lamenting the fact that pitchers don't get the hit anymore, obviously. Here's a pitcher who got the hit. Ron Darling joins us now. And when I sat down to write all the questions for you, I was under the impression that the baseball thing was not going to get done. Yeah. And so I thought, well, what can we talk about that would be the most interesting? And the first thing I thought of, and I don't know if this is true, were you ever a player rep? Were you ever part of this? Were you ever on the inside, or were you one of those people who waited for someone to tell you this is the offer? What do you think?
Well, first, that Dan could use implore in that song is amazing, and I'll always remember that. Second, yes, I was a player rep, but I've been on both sides. In the middle of my career, I was a player rep and involved in all of this stuff. And then as I got towards the end of my career, which was 94, 95, I kind of just sat back and waited for someone to give me a call. And in fact, as soon as the players struck in 94, the next day I left for Hawaii and never came back until spring training of the next year. So I kind of checked out. So I think it runs the gamut. Some players are very interested in it. some players are not at all. And, you know, when I saw the vote of the executive committee, then I saw the vote of the representatives of each team, it really tells you what is happening in baseball. There's so many free agents and so much pressure on the league or the players to get it going because they want to get out there. They want to get a job.
This is exactly what I wanted to go to. The executive committee is eight people, players committee. Five of them are Scott Boras agents. Scott Boras is the agent of five of them.
Yeah.
They voted unanimously to turn this down. Then the player reps voted 26-4 to take it. So my conclusion was somebody that the executive committee is totally out of touch, Ron, totally out of touch with the rank and file, or am I jumping to the wrong conclusion?
I don't think you're jumping to the wrong conclusion. I think one thing we can know for certain, right? If you're in the middle of these negotiations, you're certainly going to be more radicalized, you know, because when you're in there face to face and you are spending 16 hours with people that you'd rather not spend time with, you're going to become more radicalized, and that certainly is the case. But I think what the vote has said is exactly what you said, is that I think there was a feeling in the subcommittee that they were on a path to get certain things done, and they felt that they had not gotten those done. But like I said, the rank and file wants to play. The rank and file has 300 free agents who need a job. This is going to be the greatest or worst addition of musical chairs you'll ever see in your life, and you know how that game ends. Someone doesn't have a seat.
So I guess this is what I want to get to when you to speak to the radicalization in the room. Do you think that the more you sit in the room, if you're a rep, the more you sit in the room, that you necessarily become radicalized? You necessarily view the ownership as evil, and that somehow you're in a silo and you lose track of what the players actually want?
I don't think what happens is, you know, the confrontational nature of labor negotiations. I mean, think of our history in this country, from the Wobblies to the workers' unions. I mean, they are very contentious. And, yeah. You know, ball players are made. One of the reasons you become a ball player, Tony, is that you don't want to go to school anymore. So, you know what I mean? part of this whole thing is to be thrown into something so intense like that, I think, is a large thing to wrap your brain around, I think. Anyways, I know in my history of it, sometimes you can't always see the forest through the trees. That being said, I mean, it's obvious that you know, Scott Boras is a very huge, influential part on how the game is played, being an agent for some of the greatest players in our game right now. What influence he had, it seems like he had a lot. I don't know that for a fact. But, you know, the bottom line is that the people who wanted to play won over, and the players, yeah, players that are on the subcommittee have to be commended. It's not easy to leave your family and spend 16-hour days trying to get this done, and seemingly, you know, every time you thought you were close, you kind of had to start again or reboot. So, you know, they should be commended. But at the same time, you know, it was an interesting vote, just like the owners agreed to it 30-0. I mean, all these pillars of industry, there's not one owner that might disagree with what happened. I find that interesting as well. Just like they doth not protest at all.
When you were negotiating, when you were in the room, and then you had to go out and tell your team what was going on, did you ever find like one or two or three or four players where you went, are you even paying attention at all? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the thing about ball players is that they come from all different walks of life. And just like, you know, I'm sure a union at a shop or some of the Amazon workers who are trying to unionize now, I'm sure that there's a large population that can't wait to read everything to make sure that their future is in good hands. And there's some people that are like, you know what, let me know when it's done because I'm a 9-to-5-er and I just want to do my job. So they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes.
What do you – look, I'm thrilled – everybody says the criticism of baseball is that it's only watched by old men. And I'm an old man, and I watch. There's not a game, unless it's on the West Coast with the Nats, there's not a game that I don't check into for a few innings. I immerse myself in it. I love it. I really do. And I especially love it when gas is going to go to $10 a gallon, and there's so much uncertainty in so many other things, and a pandemic and all of that. So I'm thrilled about this. But I would ask you, as a former player, Are you good with this? Are you glad this is over? And do you think both sides won and both sides lost, which is what good negotiations produce?
You know, you're right. I think that any time you have a good negotiation, each part or each person that walks away from the table should feel a little gut punch. It's like, you know, we got it done, but darn, I should have got a little extra here or there. Yes, I think it's a step forward. I think the international draft, I know it's going to take some time to figure it out. That's really important. Some of the shenanigans that are happening in the Dominican and other places just cannot happen anymore. You know, you need to get a hold of that. And it's unfair to the players who get drafted against players who are coming from places where they don't get drafted and then get huge bonuses because there's no restrictions on that. So I think there's a move forward. I thought the most important thing that they really needed to address in the CBA was how the game is played. And I'm so happy that they were able to get some of those things. Now, I don't know how the larger bases are going to play. I was a fan of the base in foul territory at first base that would allow the base runner and the first baseman not to make any connection. Max Muncy, you remember in September, the Dodgers lost to him because of a collision. I was hoping for that more than the bigger bases. I think the banning of the shift, what we've learned now, is that the hitters are not going to make an adjustment. So baseball is going to have to make an adjustment. And the reason I say that is I spent some time at Bobby Valentine's Sports Academy where I live, and I watch how players are getting taught how to hit. That's not changing, Tony. It's not going to change. So if that doesn't change, the hitters are not going to change, so you have to change the game. The NFL does this all the time. Sometimes, well,
every year.
Sometimes
they do it
really
every year.
Great job with it as far as the kickoff being nullified with the way they put the ball. I don't like that rule. But they have good ones and they have bad ones. I think you got to take a shot. And then the pitch clock, which I think when you're an older person, you have this romantic vision that baseball is such a pastoral game that it should just be played in an organic way and let it happen. Those days are gone. We need to quicken it up. And most people think it's going to be very difficult on the pitchers of the pitch clock. It's just the opposite. It will be the hitters who will have a hard time because the pitchers will be able to do it. The hitters have so much information now, analytics, that to wrap their brain around and process all of that within the 5 or 6 seconds they're going to need to stay in that box. It's going to be interesting to watch. There'll be some frustration early.
My favorite thing in baseball now is when fielders take off their hats and look where they're supposed to be positioned on the next guy. This crazy little cheat sheet. I go, really? We've reached that. Ron, I would say that the best thing of all is that we're going to get 162. Right? Isn't everybody happy with that? We'll get 162.
You know, I was a little afraid of the 162 because I think that the people who run the game now, and these people are incredibly intelligent and smart, are not sold on 162. I think sometimes I feel like they'd rather play 135 and keep everyone healthy. So I'm really happy about the 162 because 162 means something. It means something not only for personal stats, it means something as far as teams withstanding that 6-month grind to see who the best teams are. And I think that's all good.
Thank you so much for being on. I'll tell Tracy you were great, just great. And then this year I'll come out of my house. If you make the trip to Washington to broadcast games, I'll come out of my house.
I will be there on the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Your former national, Mr. Scherzer, will be pitching on the 8th, which is a Friday,
I hope he gets a huge ovation. I do.
And maybe I'll see you then, or we'll have a – we haven't had dinner in a while, so maybe we'll do that.
We'll do it. Thank you, Ron. Right, Ron Darling, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll have email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Brad Weiss.
I was born right here, and so were a couple of somewhat well-known folks. A backup catcher with the Mets, an actor from an old TV show. There's also good old, what's her name? She wrote a best-selling book and graduated from my high school. Okay, she's no Louise Gluck.
Such a good one.
Or it could be your hometown, or any old town. I've got 15 kitchen outlets.
Brad Weiss gets this show. He just gets this show. He says, rather than list the many boatloads of minor and major celebrities born as I was in New York City, I'll just tell you a few of the celebrated physicians who went to medical school in the hospital where I was born. Surgeon General C. Everett Koop, astronaut Mae Jemison, Henry Heimlich of the fame Maneuver, and some guy who was in school with my dad by the name of Anthony Fauci. Med school. In the hospital he was born. Also of note, my wife is from Niagara Falls, New York. I'll give you three guesses what else is in Niagara Falls, New York. And no, it isn't the Gateway Arch. Brad Weiss is brilliant. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel then?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in and you'll be thrilled.
That's about it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me say, don't you worry about what's on your mind. Oh, my. I'm in no hurry. I can take my time. Oh, my. I'm going red and my tongue's getting tired. I'm off my head and my mouth's getting dry. I'm high, but I try. Oh, my. Let's spend the night together. But Ed Sullivan said, let's spend some time together. Now I need you more than ever. That's the best Rolling Stones song. As far as I'm concerned, Let's Spend the Night Together is the best. And, you know, you choose from 100.
Right.
That's the best for me. Thanks to our guests today, Jason Lockenfour and Ron Darling. Thanks to our sponsors, X-Chair, Simply Safe, and Sunday. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review.
And with conference tournament play and selection Sunday, we have TK Upset. So go to johnnyo.com and check out their latest spring offerings.
And by the way, next week we'll do brackets. Monday, yes. Tuesday, Wednesday shows. Brackets. From Lauren Helvey.
Yay.
Originally, what's it, you don't like them?
I love the brackets.
You don't. I know you don't. But it's just public service. That's how I look at it.
Okay, we're going to start in the upper left corner.
Yeah. Any upsets? Not at 8 and 9. From Lauren Helvey, originally from Midwest City, Oklahoma. It gave me great pleasure to hear you give Owen the throw mama from the train treatment. Owen! For over 30 years, I can't see or hear the name Owen without doing the same either in my head or out loud. The name has had a bit of resurgence lately. I'm slightly older than Michael, and at least three of my classmates have picked the names for their sons. And when one of my best friends told me it was at the top of her list for names for her sons, I told her she can't possibly do that. I quickly hopped on YouTube and sent her a clip, and she named her son Landon. 18-pound cat, 12 outlets in my kitchen. Pro golfer Taylor Gooch graduated from my high school, but I wouldn't call a city with a population of about 55,000 small. Al Pierce in Newport News. My first job in 1969 after an army tour that included Vietnam was as a sports writer in Newport News, Virginia. There on day one, I met this punkish, long-haired, scruffy hippie kid named Mike Litwin. His career took him everywhere, while mine agreeably kept me on Newport newspapers for 35 years, covering primarily motorsports. I retired from the newspaper biz in 2004, but have remained fully employed with a dozen books about NASCAR and following the tour for Auto Week of the Hearst Magazine Group. I always knew Mike would be a star, but I like to think my modest 53-year career has been pretty solid as well. Please give him my best regards. I'll call him. And he will remember, without question, he'll remember Al Pierce. The guy who wrote us that note, who said, "Don't use my name," the note about Melman,
right,
has written us again. "Dear Tony, well, if you went that far, then why didn't you just mention my name? I'm just kidding. In retrospect, I'm glad you read my previous letter, if only so I know you indeed saw it. While I'm a relatively new little, I've quickly come to love and appreciate the podcast. I think all the letter writers, and I must say I'm surprised at and humbled by the level of talent and humor out there, appreciate the feeling of contributing even a little bit to the connective tissue of this wonderful show, even though it stinks. At the risk of being maudlin, and at a time when so many are evaluating what they're doing with their lives, you can rest comfortably with the knowledge that someday when Bootsy and the Hammer ask their grandpa what he did during the pandemic, you can say to them, 'I gave people a sense of community at a time when they needed it most.' Now, if only I hadn't thought it was a good idea to take gambling advice from a monkey."
Well,
the boys were very confused the other night watching PTI as to why you were dressed like a doctor.
Would you?
We tried to explain to them, well, he is a doctor.
He is a doctor, yes.
I'm a doctor of letters. You know, that's humane letters. I'm a doctor from Binghamton. You know, it's a thing I'm proudest of.
Absolutely.
From Landon Fisher in Knightdale, North Carolina. "Like when you have Chuck Todd on and don't speak politics, it's so refreshing to have famed restaurateur Gary Williams on and only discuss his side hustle, basketball."
He has strong thoughts about French fries.
Chris Bansells of Forest Hill, Maryland. Not Forest Hills. Forest Hill, Maryland. Forest Hills is in Queens. "What a delight to hear Gary Williams on Monday's show. I grew up watching him coach Maryland and got to see it in person when I was a student there from 1998 to 2002. I've been to some of the great sporting venues in the country, but no place roared like Cole Fieldhouse when Gary would walk onto the court and pump his fist in the air towards the student section. You could feel the concrete tremble beneath your feet. I was at the last game at Cole before the championship run, and it's a memory I treasure so much that I've yet to go back for a live game since. Hearing you interview him warmed this old Terp's heart. Thank you." Isn't that nice?
That's lovely.
It's nice. And I'm sure that'll make, well, Gary doesn't listen, but I'm sure it would make him happy. And Alan will tell him.
Yes.
No from mention of the mattresses.
No. Sean Crawford from Queenstown, Maryland. "I have a Chessie also, short for Chesapeake Bay Retriever, but her name isn't Chessie. It's Pippa. I was thinking this was a David Aldridge moment for her, but that's stupid, so forget it." From Josh Cromwell, "Please ask Michael how much the Littles would need to contribute to his now diminished inheritance." Sorry, Chatter. "To convince him to publish your diaries down the road once you're no longer signing."
Dear also, diary,
also
so
please
much
tell him
to tell
it's
you.
Raining here today. I thought he'd like to know. From Scott.
You're too terrified to open them up ever.
I want them destroyed. I'm asking you to please just destroy them. Just destroy them. From Scott, Mike Hancho Abercrombie of Huntsville, Alabama. This is the Team Spice Boys. JG Mongo Fia Carver. Heon Trevor Heyo, pronounced Heon Heyo, and Greg the Hammer Mockamer. A few years ago, when you were giving out official fill in the hobby occupation here at the Tony Kornheiser Show, I claimed the official competitive chili cook-off team of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Well, this weekend, Team Spice Boys took first, second, and third in the St. George Island in Florida chili cook-off, with yours truly taking first place. That gives me automatic entry into the World Championship Chili Cook-off in Myrtle Beach in September. Affirmation, baby. This email is only going out Monday because I just sobered up. It's my concho. So we are thrilled.
Absolutely.
We're thrilled.
Congratulations.
Need some recipe details over
so
here.
So great.
That's like one of Nigel's few dishes.
Yes.
And from Jeff Taylor in Chicago, Illinois, originally from Clarksville, Indiana, home of former classmate of mine and former WWE superstar Nick Eugene Dinsmore and former Notre Dame basketball coach John McLeod. "My family and I will be traveling to Washington, D.C. this Thursday." That's yesterday.
That was yesterday, yes.
"And there's no one better I can think to advise two Gen Xers and a 10-year-old boy on fine family dining and to subsequently help with reservations and possibly the tip than a Hofwaff, a millennial, and a British gentleman. Also appreciate it would be best vantage points to watch red line fires, tips on how to get away with riding the Assateague ponies free of charge, which embassies are set to have the best parties this weekend, and where we might find a lightly used trailer to drive home." From Jeff Taylor. "Can you help with fine family dining?"
Oh, I don't know.
You don't take the kids out yet. They're too young.
The other reasons, but yes.
What about the Woodmont Grill, which I was told was good?
Woodmont Grill is very nice.
We'd have to know where they're staying. But yeah, the Woodmont Grill would be great. I was just in that area yesterday.
I don't know. I always recommend the Palm, but it's tough with kids.
Yeah, it's not always a kid's place. But if you want to go to the embassy, just stop by the British Embassy.
And St. Nigel's send you.
Ask for me.
Family-friendly, good open-air dining. Go to Surf's on Wisconsin Avenue. It's basically a block away from where the old 4000 Wisconsin Avenue movie theaters used to be. Two blocks away from Sidwell, Neville.
Neville. If you're out on your bike tonight, Neville, do wear white.
Come on now. That means everybody just cool out. Where you cool out, everybody.
I wanna break out of my skin. I am a prisoner in these cells. I wanna be anywhere else, but I've grown accustomed to these walls. Nobody's leaving here alive. She shouted as the midnight starlight fell upon her eyes. As if I didn't know it, as if I'd try to take it all when it was time to go. Oh, when it was time to go. What's the difference between wishes and wants? Between the things we say we need and what we already got? Between the art we have made and the stuff that we just bought? Man, what's the difference between wishes and wants? Sleep a thousand years, I can't even make it through the night. I wanna knock down all my fears, but they've kept me up half my life. You only get one shot at this, she whispered as the morning dawn broke open through the clouds. And I guess I always knew it, but only heard it clearly when it echoed from her mouth. What's the difference between wishes and wants? Between the things we say we need and what we already got? Between the art we have made and the stuff that we just bought? Man, what's the difference? What's the difference between wishes and wants? Oh,
they're gonna have the designated hitter in both leagues from now on. You can't beat 'em, join 'em. That's a message, I guess, The days of doing it yourself are gone. I'm gonna have a standing at my table to chew my food before I swallow. Gonna have someone throw sticks to my dog. From a respectful distance I will follow. Got a guy coming in to brush his teeth before I go to bed. Got a kid to shower and wash their hair while I neglect my head. From now on when I master write my signature, I'll have this kid here to do it. Got a stamp, liquor, and someone to smell the flowers. When my nose runs, I got some folks, they'll be the ones who blew it. I've cleaned my ears for the very last time. Won't do my own, don't try to implore me. Got a guy to write my songs, and a guy to do my crosswords, and a guy to go to the bathroom for me. The DH in both leagues will have to live with no place else to go. Got a kid to do my dying and a kid to listen for me to the Tony Kornheiser Show.